back at it on a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Into the second hour of the program. We got a lot of time together, though, tonight. Really, probably into tomorrow morning. Cardinals baseball tonight. First pitch in San Francisco, 9:15. So we're still over an hour away from our coverage of Cardinals baseball. And then, I'll have you in the postgame show. And if you want, you know what? If it's 1 o'clock in the morning and you want to talk Cardinals baseball, I'll be here for you. I'll be here. We are going to spend this hour going through much of what was reported by Katie Wu. In fact, Katie is going to join us. I want to throw this out. This is, I guess this is for anybody, but it is specifically for folks who have read Katie's story. So you're an Athletic subscriber or somebody got it to you, whatever it might be. If you've read it and you have further questions that you're curious about, you can text them in. And depending on how the conversation goes with Katie, I'll try to work them in, because, I mean, she had so much in there. And I know I certainly had some further questions, and that's what we're going to get into. So if you read what Katie reported and you've got some questions beyond what was in her reporting, you can text them in at 314-436-7900. And depending on the direction the conversation goes, I might be able to work those in with Katie coming up in just a few moments. So here's what I wanted to do. So somebody, I tweeted, so it all comes together. I tweeted something about Jordan Walker yesterday and his last 12 games. And I gave his numbers over his last 12 games. Because he had an okay offensive day yesterday, not a very good day in the field, we know that. But I tweeted out just his numbers in his last 12 games. They're not great, but they're not bad. In his last 12 games, I tweeted this in the middle of the game yesterday, so there may be an at-bat or two from yesterday missing from these numbers, but through two at-bats, last 12 games of yesterday, his average was .250, not great, but a lot better than it was earlier. Three home runs, four doubles, nine RBIs, .877 OPS. The .877 OPS, that's great. Take that. If you can get .877 OPS out of Jordan Walker, it doesn't matter what his batting average is, you will take that over and over and over and over and over again. So if I get the last 12 games worth of production from Jordan Walker over every 12 games moving forward, it may not reach the expectations we had for him as he was a top prospect coming up, but it's a guy that you can put in your order, and it's a guy that's going to drive in runs. And I'll take that. So I posted those numbers. Honestly, part of the reason I posted the numbers was because he had this thumbs up during the Bally Sports broadcast. And I thought it was a very, like, memeable photo. And I wanted to tweet out the photo of it. So I found something to write about Jordan Walker just so I could tweet out the photo. And it kind of blew up on me, because that's when I think I have a great tweet with great information, nobody sees the dang thing. And when I'm just trying to find a reason to tweet a photo out, it can blow up on me a little bit. And that's what happened yesterday. So one of the people that responded said, let him play. Let all the kids play. Trade Arenado and Contreras. Let Goldie walk. Keep Herrera and play him and have Páez backup. Okay, so then we get to today, and the Katie Wu report comes out. And part of Katie's reporting is that next year, it could be a year where there's a youth movement on the big league roster, where they don't do a whole lot in free agency this year, where the focus of the organization is on fixing the player development system. And not that they are going to punt on next year, but it's going to be a year where they're really going to focus in on the youth movement. So I asked a question on Twitter, and I said, if the team decides to, quote, let the kids play, and I quote tweeted that tweet that I mentioned ago, next year while beginning the process of fixing the infrastructure issues that plague the organization, will you be accepting of a season where the win-loss record leaves something to be desired? And to the credit of the people who follow along with me or follow along with that KMOX Sports on Twitter, I got a lot of reaction to this. So let's go through some of the things that were said. So one person says, yes, 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 all things yes. So there, and I, it wasn't, look, there are a lot of different opinions that are represented in these responses. But I do feel like I'd have to go through all the responses and, like, catalog them on what category or where, you know, if they're positive or negative on it. But I do feel like, at least based off the social media reaction, as I always like to remind you, the what's said on social media does not always represent what is felt in real life. You know, the penetration of Twitter doesn't represent the real world. So just because there's one point that is out there a lot on social media, that doesn't mean that it represents the entire fan base. But I think it's something like this. It's interesting. I also got a lot of... So Kevin tweeted at me and said, only if John Mozeliak is gone. I understand why people feel that way. I understand the unhappiness with John Mozeliak. I do. Like... There. In many ways, it makes sense because he is the head decision maker, and the team has stagnated. So when I sit here and tell you all the time that this is not Oliver Marmol's fault, that the issues go deeper than that, that it's issues within the organization. Where does that go? Like, where does the buck stop? So when people are critical of John Mozeliak and his culpability and what's going on, I understand that. I understand where you're coming from. I would say this though. This is where. The idea of people, how do I say, I want to, what doesn't line up, what doesn't make any sense is if I am asking you, are you willing to let the big league team not have the kind of success that you'd like it to have, if you are willing to let the kids play, if you're willing to have all these things happen next year, where the organization focuses on player development. And if the organization focusing on player development is led by Heim Bloom, and he reportedly is going to make the hire for farm director. So if all the heavy lifting in the organization is focused on player development, and there's not as much heavy lifting when it comes to the major league roster, it's a lot of letting younger players play and go through their struggles and things like that, then what is the consequence of having John Mozeliak? If John Mozeliak's kind of washing his hands of the player development stuff, which is going to be the big change that is happening, and again, if that's truly going to be oversaw by Heim Bloom and he's going to have autonomy in making those decisions, if that's what's going to happen, then there's no significance. There's no consequence to John Mozeliak continuing to do things when it comes to the Major League roster. Because all the stuff that's going to make this team win long term, year after year after year, in future years, all that work is being done by other people. Now, I don't know if it's actually going to play out that way. And I think I'd be naive to say that John Mozeliak's going to have no voice in everything that's going on. But I do think that I don't think it makes sense logically to say, yes, I'll accept all of the, I will accept lack of success at the major league level with stuff getting fixed at the minor league and the player development level, but only if John Mozeliak's gone, where John Mozeliak is going to be more hands-on in the things that might have less significance last year, if that makes sense. More of those comments coming up later on. Up next, we talk with Katie Wu from The Athletic. What a great job she did putting this whole thing together. we'll discuss it coming up in just a moment. It's Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. From The Athletic, we're very happy to welcome on the program Katie Wu right now. Katie, thanks for taking some time, and I'm sure what's been a very busy day for you. Let's get Katie on real quick. Hold on. Katie, are you there?
Oh, there you are. Right, can you hear me okay?
Yep, I got you. Thanks for coming on to the program. What's been the reaction to this from today?
No, thanks for having me. Yeah, I think, you know what, if you really break down the Cardinals and where they've been heading over the last, you know, definitely 2 years, but obviously dating much further back, I would hope fans find this as somewhat of a reprieve. Look, it's never easy to accept your organization probably won't be competitive for a few couple of seasons, but I think the Cardinals fan base in general is pretty smart. And I think what they want is a plan, and they want the organization to be transparent about the plan. And I think if you give this passionate fan base that, they'll respond accordingly. So I think it's been revealing to kind of see that kind of response. It's certainly not a direction the organization wanted to do, but it's the direction the organization felt like they had to move in.
You spoke with people anonymously, and they were able to speak very openly with you. There are many quotes in your story that are quite honestly kind of damning about the way things have gone. As you were having those conversations, were you at all surprised with what you were hearing?
A little bit, just because it's always surprising when you're going to see something with that much candor and that much honesty within any kind of organization. What was surprising to me was that it was, you know, it's certainly not solely on player development, but the Cardinals for so long have been, you know, renowned for their homegrown infrastructure and how they like readily produce caliber baseball players from their own system. And that they were having such trouble doing so, I thought it was really alarming. Because, again, you think about the St. Louis Cardinals, and you think about their ability to churn out guys continuously and always having a sound roster of their own growing. I mean, you look at someone like Brendan Donovan, who I think is the example of when the Cardinals get it right. They used to have five or six Brendan Donovans on the roster at any time. So that's what was most surprising to me, was that an organization built and founded over the last 20 years on having solid player development have lost the way and fallen so far behind.
I thought one of the most interesting revelations was the fact that John Mozeliak essentially has one bucket of money to work with, and he kind of determines on it, are you going to spend this money on the major league roster, or are you going to spend this money on creating infrastructure and having technology and staff members and everything that goes along with player development? And he's sort of been forced to spend it on the major league roster, and that in turn has resulted in them falling behind on the other side.
Yeah, it's been a difficult decision for John Mozeliak, and I don't think he's immune to all criticism, but it was a tough choice he had to make. Look, we all have bosses, right? And Mo's boss is Cardinals ownership. It's the DeWitts. And if the DeWitts are only giving their baseball operations a set amount of money, well, I don't really know if we can blame Mo for doing everything he could to ensure that the team at the big league level was winning. Now, we can go back and forth on if the free agent signings were smart, if the trades panned out. Sure, that I think makes total sense. But I'm not sure we can condemn Mo for not spending on player development when it was so clear that he was going to have to make a choice. And he felt like he needed to make the choice that was going to show up and people would respond the most to, which is the success or lack of success for your big league club. So a difficult decision for Mo to make. Ultimately, it came down to having to make some really tough decisions because he was only operating with a set amount of money.
You know this organization very well, and there's going to be different people who fall into different camps. But generally speaking, do you think there's relief in the organization that this information comes out because it helps prepare the fans and helps fans understand these decisions that are going to be announced at some point in the near future? Or do you think the organization maybe doesn't like everything that you wrote today because of maybe some of those quotes that were somewhat damning?
I don't think relief is the word that the organization is using. I think, you know, they are set to announce these changes and talk about it. And I think as an organization, regardless of what you're announcing, you would like the message to come from within. I know the Cardinals are planning an end-of-year press conference where they do discuss more of these changes in full. But, I mean, let's be honest, this isn't something that brewed overnight. This has been a change years in the making. And the difference is when they were winning at the big league level, they could hide it. When you're losing at the big league level, everything comes under scrutiny. And after missing the postseason for the last 2 years, it was so obvious that it was time for a change. Look, we know John Mozeliak is coming back for 2025. He's going to step down after that, is what he said. Now, for Mo, who cares a lot about this organization, I think it's important for him, and he feels it's important as well, to ensure that he's doing everything he can so that when this transition period comes around, it's in a good place. We don't know who's going to take over. We do know that Chaim Bloom is going to have a more expanded role. Would the organization have liked that probably to come from their own messaging? Sure, but at this point, with so much turmoil, Things went down the way that they did because most people in the organization felt like they didn't have a choice.
We're talking with Katie Wu from The Athletic. Hopefully you're a subscriber to The Athletic so you could read the piece that got published earlier today. You mentioned Chaim Bloom, and he's coming on full-time, according to your reporting. Do we know really what that's going to look like and how that's going to possibly impact other people in the front office, when you think about the Mike Gershes and the Randy Flores and just the entire brain trust that is the Cardinals organization?
Well, Mike Gersh is under contract through 2025, and I believe assistant general managers Randy Flores and Moises Rodriguez are as well. what bringing in Chaim Bloom was the organization admitting, hey, we need fresh eyes here. Something that I actually think is commendable about the Cardinals is they are so consistent in what they do. But sometimes when you become consistent and aware of the same patterns, you're not aware of the changes that need to be made. So they brought in Chaim Bloom in 2024, the beginning of the season, to just kind of audit or canvas the player development system. Chaim Bloom has had a successful track record, 16 seasons with the Tampa Bays, turning them into a powerhouse for player development. They wanted Chaim, who's regarded as one of the best in the business in this regard, to kind of see what they were missing. So he came back, gave a full report, and now the Cardinals are looking to bring him on full-time to maybe see that overhaul of the player development system. So we know he'll be in charge of hiring the team's new farm director. Longtime farm director Gary LaRocque announced his retirement a couple of weeks ago. And I think the main thing Chaim will do is look to upgrade the department, whether that's adding more positions, adding more staffing, adding more technology, or adding all three, remains to be seen. But it was made very clear to me, at least, that Chaim's first big task in this organization is getting this player development model right.
I'm not breaking any news when I say that Oliver Marmol and John Mozeliak are not overly popular with a large percentage of the Cardinals fan base. And I'm of the belief that this is not an Oliver Marmol problem at all, but that most people don't agree with me on that. We saw the attendance numbers and things like that. Do you get the sense that the Cardinals are at all concerned about running it back next year with Mo and Marmol and what the reaction is going to be from the fan base to that?
It's a very valid question. Mo and Ollie are the faces, especially when things aren't going well with the organization. But I think that's why how this messaging from Mo himself comes, from the organization, on what the future is so important. Like I said, if you give this Cardinals fan base a transparent plan of what's going forward, I think the majority of them will get behind it. Now, I also understand that, you know, while Ollie Marmol had a really solid season in 2022, won the division, that he's also overseen two of the most disappointing seasons in Cardinals history. And we can argue whether that's his fault or not, but I do want to say one thing. This Cardinals team in 2024 has disappointed. But if you think their performance on the field is disappointing, I challenge you to go look at their expected record this season. They have actually won way more games than they were expected to. And I think the Major League staff deserves some credit there, because when you think about the players that have not played well, you're thinking of Paul Goldschmidt, Nolan Arenado, Contreras has been hurt. They're big three. They didn't have a good Nolan Gorman. They didn't have Jordan Walker all year. This Cardinals coaching staff found a way to still win those tight ball games that should count for something. I know it's probably not the message fans want to hear right now, but it's clear that the organization feels like Ollie is capable of handling the next 2 years, which will continue to be challenging if the team is still investing, you know, or prioritizing their investing in player development over the big league club. So while I get it, I do think that, you know, it's not necessarily a bad thing that he's still here.
Is there a scenario where if the messaging is that at the big league level they may take a step back or maybe a youth movement over the next couple years, that we see some of these veterans who are under contract make their desire known to maybe play elsewhere?
It's valid, and I can't say for sure because I'm not sure if the organization has even had those conversations yet. But you think about, you know, an impending free agent like Paul Goldschmidt. He's 37. He wants to play to win. You think about guys that were either traded here or signed here, Nolan Arenado, Sonny Gray, Wilson Contreras. I mean, Arenado signed an extension to stay here to win. Contreras signed here to win. Sonny to win. So if the organization decides to take a step back and put winning on the back burner, it could very well impact their decisions. We just don't know yet. But that's something I expect to be one of the more pressing questions in the early parts of the offseason and something that I hope we'll have more answers towards soon.
Everybody should be subscribed to The Athletic if they can financially do it, because we get amazing reporting like you had. If people are interested in an Athletic subscription, what's the way to do it?
You can sign up at theathletic.com/Cardinals, and it should prompt you. It's $1 a month for, I believe, the first 4 months right now, but we do have sales regardless, basically randomly. So always check back, and you can always send me an email or DM me on Twitter if you'd like to subscribe. But no, thanks so much for having me on and promoting the piece. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely, Katie. We'll see you back here in St. Louis real soon.
You got to probably talk to you soon. Talk
very
later.
Good. Yep. Katie Wu joining us here on the program. Appreciate her taking a few moments with us. I think the thing I'm most interested in, and I'm not looking forward to the conversations. We'll do it. It's my job. We'll do it. I think the thing that I'm most interested in is we get to the press conference, whenever it happens, whether it's Monday, whether it's at some other time, We get to it. We get the messaging. We find out everything that's going to go on. They tell us that Chaim Bloom is going to oversee player development, and he's going to update the Cardinals player development, and they talk all about everything that he did in Tampa and how he's the right guy for it. And I'm going to believe every single word of that. I'm a Chaim Bloom guy. I am excited about the potential opportunity of Chaim Bloom overseeing Cardinals player development. I'd be excited about Chaim Bloom being the next guy once John Mozeliak's done, but that's another topic for another day. So that the messaging's great. The vast majority of Cardinals fans can get on board on that part of it, that they are going to fix player development. They are going to invest in technology. They're going to invest in staffing. They're going to do all the things that you're supposed to do to help develop impact major leaguers. Okay, good. We're all on the same page here. But, oh, yeah, by the way, Oliver Marmol's going to be back, and John Mozeliak's going to be back in their current roles. What does that look like? What does that look like for a fan base that would not be excited about that? Are fans going to be able to accept that because the greater good is the other stuff that's going on? Is there going to be more of an understanding that, okay, maybe the issues that have existed on the big league roster aren't so much connected to those individuals, especially Oliver Marmol, and that it's the underlying stuff, the stuff that you can't see. You can't see a pitching lab. You can't see a computer. You can't see a guy in a room with nodes all over his body as he throws a pitch, and they get an idea of his body movements and how he can change that to be better. You can't see that stuff. So that doesn't get you excited because you can't see it. You see John Mozeliak, you see Oliver Marmol. Where does fan excitement in a business where it is still important to put butts in seats, where does fan excitement play in all this? I don't know. That, to me, I'm very intrigued by all of that. We'll continue to discuss this coming up in just a moment. 314-436-7900. That's how you text in. You can tweet at me. We've got a million tweets. We're not going to get to all of them, but we'll continue to go through some of those tweets. We've got about 25 minutes left in the program. It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. We've spent almost the entire show today outside of 10-15 minutes talking about the Chiefs and the Royals a little bit with Blair Kirchhoff, just what's going on in Kansas City. Outside of that, it's been nothing but this report from Katie Wu and The Athletic about where the Cardinals are at. Want to spend some more time going through some of the responses that I got on Twitter earlier today to how you would feel if the Cardinals took it kind of almost intentionally took a step back next year. And look, this has been an underachieving team this year in terms of what was communicated to us at the beginning of the year, right? So when the season gets started, when the offseason's going on next year and they bring in Kyle Gibson and Lance Lynn and Sonny Gray, the messaging was that the expectation was that this would be a playoff team this year. That's not happening. Now, they're likely to have a winning record outside of a three-game series sweep at the hands of the San Francisco Giants, a team that's also eliminated from playoff contention. Not that that won't happen. And the Giants are also trying to play to be above 500. They would have to, they've got 80 losses right now. So if they want to be an above 500 team this year, they would have to sweep the series. So there's no guarantee that the Cardinals are going to win at least one, but they are likely to win at least one, and then they will have a winning record this year. So that's nice, I guess. It's good to avoid the back-to-back losing seasons. It's good to see the improvement from last year to this year, I guess. You know, last year was pretty terrible with them winning 71 games, and now they are sitting on what is it? How many wins are they at? They're at 81 right now, so they're at plus 10 so far. Those are good things, but they're not great things. The bottom line is the team still isn't in the playoffs. So if they were to take another step back next year and not just and communicate with the fan base, look, we gotta fix the system. We gotta fix player development. We gotta fix all these things, and it might take a year or two for us to get back rolling at the big league level. Would you be okay with that? Matthew tweets in and says there has to be a plan to play the youth. And with the money saved to go out and get top free agents, in year two or three to plug the gaps, it's easy to go back to what they're currently doing. I think this organization has always shown the ability to, when they were producing high-end talent that was helping them win at the highest level, deep runs in the playoffs, getting to the World Series, getting to the league championships here, all those things. I feel like that was the MO, that much of the roster was homegrown and they were getting contributions, but they were always willing, whether it was free agency in the offseason or whether it was taking on salary at the trade deadline, they were always willing to supplement. So I would assume that they would, if they are back to competing at a high level, that would definitely be part of it. Josh tweets in, says, the thing with letting the kids play is everyone loves it until they slump. Then it's, what is this team doing? We are an unserious franchise. Boo. I'm all for letting the kids play. See what you have and we need to develop. Says, I don't know about trading someone like Nolan Arenado, because the Cardinals need someone to anchor the team and be a mentor for the kids. He might not want to hang around, though. And if he doesn't want to be around for this year, then let him choose his spot and go. He's earned that right for us. Start the young prospects and see where the Cardinals need to develop. If we have a season like the Chicago White Sox, I'm still okay with it because we have a great crop of kids getting valuable playing time with zero pressure to perform, go get better, and gel as a team. I think the first part of what that texter said is correct, and that in theory that sounds nice. And even if you are understanding of what might be going on in the background, that's going to help produce more wins in future years. I think when you're sitting there watching it, it's going to be tough. And that's where I don't, like, I'm not crying for anybody in the Cardinals organization. Don't take it that way. But where I don't envy them is they're still a business. They're still an entertainment property. They still rely on getting people into Busch Stadium, sitting in seats, buying beer, buying hot dogs, having a good night, buying a hat, and getting on out of here. Look, it impacts our business. We're the radio rights holder. We want the team to be very compelling because more people are listening to the game. Like, people always listen to the games, but it's better. Things are better. Things are better. I'm not breaking any news when I tell you that KMOX is in business with the Cardinals. Obviously, we are. We're the radio rights holder. We have a vested interest in them playing well. We have a vested interest in them being compelling. The more compelling the team is, the more people that are listening, the better it is for everything. The good folks over at Bally Sports Midwest would tell you the exact same thing. The people at the Post-Dispatch and the people at the Athletic would tell you the same thing. Now, that's a little bit different because you might get some, you know, when things are going really bad, you're going to get some eyes as well. But when everybody's excited about the team, let's go pick up the newspaper. Let's have a subscription to STL Today. Let's have a subscription to The Athletic because I want to read about my team every day. Well, the team stinks and you don't know how you're going to pay your bills because groceries are 9 million times more expensive now than they were 5 years ago. And you're starting to do the thing of what am I going to drop? Well, do I really need the subscription to STL Today? I'm not reading that much about the Cardinals these days. Do I really need my cable subscription? I'm not watching as many games these days. Maybe you're somebody who's listening to this show right now and you're not in St. Louis. Do I really need my SiriusXM subscription anymore? I'm not really listening to that many games on theirs. Do I need my MLB TV or my MLB at bat subscription anymore? I'm not. Like that. So it's all business. It comes back to money. And them being compelling is important for everybody. And that's going to be the thing that's going to be tough to work through on this if the Cardinals do tell us that it's going to look a little bit different. Now, maybe the messaging isn't going to be that. We don't know for sure. We don't know. Maybe the messaging is going to be, we know that we can do better in player development. We know that we have to take X amount of resources and put it to player development. We need to get this amount of technology and it's going to cost this many millions of dollars. We know that we need to hire 10 more roving minor league instructors and it's going to cost this hundreds of thousands of dollars. We know that the staffs for both the major league coaching staff and the minor league coaching staff needs to be better, and we're going to throw this money. We know that our analytics department needs to be better. We're going to go hire more people, and we're going to throw this amount of money at them. And oh yeah, by the way, we feel like we've got a good core on our major league roster, and we still think we're just a few pieces away from being able to compete, and we're going to go do that too. Maybe that happens. I don't know. That's not, if you read Katie's story today, that doesn't seem like what's likely to happen. But that, could that happen? I guess that could happen. And then you can still kind of, because I've talked a lot about this. I talked about how Sonny Gray and Kyle Gibson, not really Sonny Gray, take him out of this. I talked about how Kyle Gibson and Lance Lynn were Band-Aids. That this was an organization that was at a crossroads. I said this a year ago or 10 months ago, whenever those signings were. These were Band-Aids. That this was an organization that was figuring out what they needed to do to update player development, scouting, all that sort of stuff. And that eventually the machine would start rolling again, but it was going to take some time. So when it's going to take some time, if you want to continue to win at the major league level, what do? Well, you sign Lance Lynn. You sign Kyle Gibson. Did it work? I don't know. I mean, they're not in the playoffs, so I guess no. Kyle Gibson was fine. Lance Lynn was fine. I think their seasons were a little bit better than... If 10 years from now, if we're talking about the 2024 Cardinals, and I tell you, yeah, remember that year that they brought in Lance Lynn and Kyle Gibson? I bet you go, yeah, those guys didn't really have that great of seasons. But that's going to be kind of the legacy of those guys. And for this year, you know, Lynn obviously has a legacy much deeper than that with the Cardinals. Their numbers aren't terrible. But could have you gotten similar numbers from Michael McGreevy? Could have you gotten similar numbers from Gordon Graceffo and not spent that money? Maybe. And that's one of the things I do want to see this organization do. I want to let's get to Jupiter next year and Gordon Graceffo and Michael McGreevy have an opportunity to make the team as a starting pitcher. Let's see that happen. And these guys have been high-level, top-level prospects. Give them all the tools that they need to be the best version of themselves, and then give them the opportunity. And if you start doing that more and more, you're going to start producing more impact major leaguers. But the part of that that's missing right now is the tools to allow these guys to be the best version of themselves. One last break. We'll come back and wrap up this edition of Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Just a few minutes left in the program. This has been an interesting conversation that we've had today. Thanks for all the participation. Folks on Twitter tweeting at me. I got to very few of the tweets. I was planning on getting to many, many more, and I didn't, and that's a bad job by me. So thanks for being involved with it. Nonetheless, a couple texts before we get out of here. From the 314, speaking to me, you sound like a spoiled brat. I don't want young kids steering the ship. We're here. Win now for the big club. So we don't want a youth movement, but yes, we should be happy for a winning season. Yes, it's not the playoffs, but it's not as bad as you say. You young fans don't live or remember about the crap in the 70s and early 90s. I don't remember much. I mean, I know the history of the organization, and it wasn't great in the 70s. I certainly was around in the 90s for sure when I was growing up. With all due respect to this texter, and I don't know how I sound like a spoiled brat, but that's fine. With all due respect to the texter, what I don't think you understand is that for this team to get back to a point where they can contend for deep playoff runs annually, and there are organizations that do that, they have to fix player development. They have to have young players getting to the big leagues ready to impact things in a big way. And that's not happening right now. That's not even an arguable point. That's not happening now. For every Mason Wynn, there's a bunch of other guys that aren't here yet. And especially from a pitching standpoint, you're just not getting it. So yeah, could you go do what you did this offseason again next year and maybe you sneak into the playoffs, maybe you don't? You bring in a Kyle Gibson, Lance Lynn type guys and do that sort of thing and you have a season very similar to this one? Yeah, you could do that. And there's going to be people out there that do not want to see this team take a step back at the major league level to buy some time for the player development system to start producing high-end talent again. Those people are going to exist, and this person is one of them. Absolutely, they are. They are going to exist. I would argue they're incorrect. I would argue that if it takes a year or two to get things rolling again, it's worth it. And I hope they can compete at the major league level. Like, this team is a lucky week and a lucky week here or there away from being in the playoffs. Like, they weren't that far out. And we feel like it was a very unsuccessful season. This team wasn't that far from being a playoff team. All right, that is it. There was more I wanted to get to. We have literally run out of time, which is a bummer for tonight. We will continue the conversation throughout the week next week. But up next, Cardinals baseball after the 8 o'clock news here on KMOX.